Unemployment takes a tumble. The president honors Americans killed liberating Italy. Pressure builds for North Korean sanctions. Good morning for Bill Lynch in Rome. This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Unemployment was expected to stay level in May, but it didn't. Payrolls were supposed to explode with new jobs, but they didn't. John Stair sorts out the confusion.
The drop in unemployment was surprising, from 6.4% in April to 6% even in May. Analysts were expecting the jobless rate to hold steady, and economist Donald Strassheim of Merrill Lynch says Wall Street was caught off guard.
Wall Street's having difficulty digesting this number. It'll take a while for people to digest this. It's a very confusing and complex report.
And there is more confusion in the report on new jobs created in May. When you take out the striking Teamsters who returned to work, job creation was only about half of what analysts expected. On balance, economists say the picture is of solid employment, a strong economy, and no real pressure to raise interest rates again, at least in the next few months. John Stair, CBS News, New York.
Stock prices opened lower a few minutes ago. The Dow Industrial Average was down 12 and a fraction points. At a place drenched in the blood of World War II, President Clinton said the challenge of his generation is to ensure future peace and prosperity. Bill Lynch reports from Rome.
Italy is often called World War II's forgotten front, but President Clinton remembered today at the U.S. Military Cemetery in Nettuno. Mr. Clinton walked among the 7,862 grave markers, pausing at three with friends of the fallen, and at the grave of an unknown with Senators Dole and Inouye, both wounded in Italy. The president spoke of sacrifices large and small, like that of Private Robert Mereny.
On February 7th, 1944, his brother, Private Eugene Mereny, lay wounded in the field hospital. Robert was visiting when they heard the sounds of planes overhead. As the bombs fell, Robert threw his body on top of his wounded brother. He saved his brother's life, even as he gave his own.
Mr. Clinton recalled the father he never knew, William Blythe, an Army engine mechanic based at Caserta, Italy, well back from the front. Barry Bagnato talked with some of the returning veterans at Nettuno.
The bands played, echoing through a green field filled with crosses standing at attention. The ones who lived sat with those who didn't, once again, in the place where they last were together.
It's like nothing you've ever seen before, I'll tell you.
What do you mean?
Constant shelling all the time.
Our unit I was in suffered about 90% of the casualties between here and Sicily through the whole war.
Captured by the Germans here, James Arsenault of North Reading, Massachusetts, had to return.
Just an unfinished chapter, I guess, in our life. This is something to see. Everybody should see this.
What?
Well, all these men that are in here, that, you know, what did they die for?
It took 50 years for many of these veterans to work up the strength to come back here, where they spent 4 months of their long-ago lives huddled in foxholes with their buddies, as close to them as they are today. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Nettuno, Italy.
50 years ago today, General Eisenhower was giving French General de Gaulle his first briefing on Operation Overlord, then just 3 days away. German Field Marshal Rommel was in Paris buying shoes for his wife's birthday, June 6th. French resistance members tuned to the BBC for the second half of this couplet by the poet Verlaine.
The long sobs of the violins of autumn, les sanglots longs des violons de l'automne.
Across southern England, troops were getting final briefings, reenacted by John Wayne in the 1962 film The Longest Day, one of President Clinton's D-Day briefing tools.
Here's the town, heavily fortified. Down here is the swamp area that the Germans have flooded. And in between, 4 miles from the town, is our drop zone. Now, if anything goes wrong and we undershoot, we land in this flooded area and are bogged down. If we overshoot, we come down like clay pigeons smack dab in the center of San Miraglis.
And that's just what happened. I'm Bill Lynch in Rome. The World News Roundup continues now with Frank Settapani in New York.
The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency is en route to New York to brief the UN Security Council on North Korea's alleged destruction of evidence that could prove it's building nuclear weapons. Ahead of any Security Council meeting, the three countries most directly involved in the crisis will meet among themselves, as Steve Herman reports from Japan.
Tokyo has dispatched two senior diplomats to Washington for talks with American and South Korean officials about what should be the next step in trying to prevent North Korea from building a nuclear bomb.
Japan's foreign minister, Koji Kakizawa, says the agenda for the three-way meeting will include the possibility of imposing economic sanctions on Pyongyang if China should veto a UN sanctions resolution. But the foreign minister says before any sanctions are proposed, the UN Security Council should issue an official warning to Pyongyang. Kakizawa says Japan will abide by whatever the United Nations decides. Japan would play a key role in cutting off North Korea's access to foreign exchange because Pyongyang relies heavily on funds and supplies sent to it by Koreans living in Japan. Steve Herman for CBS News, Tokyo.
Pyongyang is threatening to retaliate if sanctions are imposed. Assistant Secretary of State Robert Gallucci says the U.S. can't worry about that.
I don't think the United States nor the international community should be or will be intimidated by these threats.
Experts say the continued refueling of North Korea's main nuclear plant makes it impossible to know if spent fuel has been diverted to bomb production. As Lebanese Muslims mourned as many as 50 pro-Iranian guerrillas and civilians killed in yesterday's Israeli air raids, the guerrillas threatened suicide attack revenge. With recent rocket attacks as a reminder, Israel is taking the threat seriously. Robert Berger reports.
Long convoys of tanks and heavy artillery moved to the border with Lebanon as Israel demanded a halt to Hezbollah rocket attacks. Army Chief of Staff General Ehud Barak.
Now we are considering how to respond. If it will continue, we have a variety of means to make it, unprofitable to the Hezbollah.
Reports from South Lebanon say thousands of residents have fled their homes, fearing Israeli retaliation. Robert Berger for CBS News. Jerusalem.
China is doing everything it can to make the fifth anniversary of the June 3rd and 4th Tiananmen Square massacre a non-event. James Hattori in Beijing.
Tiananmen Square is quiet today, yet Chinese police are clearly on edge. They detained producer Joan Gilbertson, cameraman Brad Simpson, and this reporter for 2 hours after we attempted to videotape scenes around the square. The videotape was confiscated. In recent weeks, harassment of dissidents has been on the increase. Many were rounded up and told to leave town. Police are carefully screening people around Beijing University. Foreign journalists have been under close surveillance. But most observers believe there likely will be no protests. Officials may be more nervous this year because of growing public displeasure with inflation, corruption, and mismanagement. James Hattori, CBS News, Beijing.
The Red Cross says Rwandan rebels have overrun a government-held area 30 miles from Kigali where thousands of war refugees are being sheltered. Officials in Jakarta say tidal waves unleashed by a strong Indian Ocean earthquake have killed at least 150 people. At least two people are dead in the explosion that turned an apartment house in San Francisco's Tenderloin District into a flaming rubble heap. On Wall Street again, the Dow Industrial Average down now about 16 points. It's 10 past.